just going to say that. I used to have to be real careful how to put this strap on there because I didn't want it to mess up my hair. And Genevieve beat me to the punch. She said, now don't mess your hair up. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Receive those promises. And we're going to see that throughout John 13 and 14 and 15 that these promises are secure. Very secure. And they are also conditional. So John 14, 1 should be a familiar passage to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient. Another translation says, Lord, show us the Father, and that's all we need. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that your word to us is alive, and it's named Jesus. And we can bank on everything he tells us. And the way he says it is the way we can receive it. Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you, may your message come across and our hearts find an opening. Help us to receive what you have for us. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that this message would land in the right places in each one of us. That it would fill us with the joy that is complete and total. Overwhelming us, Lord, with your presence. I ask you this in the name of Jesus. And unto that end, Heavenly Father, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. I have a simple question for you. I'll ask it again at the end of the message. And that is this. If all of God was stuck and placed in you, what do you think would happen? Is there enough room for all of God inside of you? I think I'd burst. Probably blow up. Don't have enough room for all of God, do we? The question, though, is, what if you just had some of God? How much would be enough? It's a good question, isn't it? We'll answer it. And we'll see that the answer is very powerful. This passage in John 14 used to be a little confusing to me. As a matter of fact, this week on Tuesday, I led a Bible study. We happened to be in this chapter, which led me to understand something I could not understand. And the reason being is John 14 answers a question that I've had for several years that Jesus raises in John 13. The very first verse in John 13 says that Jesus loved his disciples to the end. And then he went and washed their feet. And I said to myself, that doesn't sound like the end of love. And I could not understand what it was talking about. And then I realized that the way he loved them to the end was in John 14 and 15. It finally made sense to me when I realized that that wasn't necessarily answered in 13. This week, when I saw what it meant that he loved us to the end, it really, really, really touched my heart. I cannot explain to you how well it did that, but I can tell you this, if you hear even half of what I heard this week, you're going to be on cloud 12, 3 above 9. Because I don't know that there's any greater joy than what Jesus does in this passage in John 14. Before we can get to it, though, we have to look at John 13, 34. Jesus gives a condition there. He says, I'm giving you a new commandment. I think you've heard the new commandment. And it says that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And if you're not sure if he means it, he says the exact same thing in verse 12 of chapter 15. I'll read it to you. You can stay at that same spot and you hear the same words. This is my commandment. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Pretty simple command, isn't it? That if Jesus has loved you in any way, that you love others the same way that he loves you. Not too difficult, is it? Or is it? John 14 tells us how he loves us. And he makes us four promises. Four. That are conditioned on us loving one another the way he does. The first promise is found in chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in you." If you want it more specific, verse 14. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Wait a minute. That sounds like a big order, but wait. Hear why he's saying this. And who he's saying this to, and the circumstances for this to be true. Jesus is preparing the disciples. There are 11 that he's preparing. Judas has already gone out. He's preparing them for his departure, for his death. Imagine, if you will, that Jesus is the bridegroom, which he is, and the disciples are the bride, which is whom he's talking to. And if you change the relationship, the bridegroom knows he has to leave the bride for a while. Before he can ever marry her, he has to do some things to get the place ready where they're going to live forever. And he says, "I know you love me and I love you, but I'm going to be apart from you for a while. But I want you to know that I'm not far from you and I'm still available to you." The way I see this is that he's going overseas, in my mind, to make it more clear, more personal. That if you're about to be betrothed and married, and you say, "Listen, I'm going to prepare a place for us. We're going to live in a nice country overseas. But the house isn't ready yet. My father has land in that country, and I have to go and get a part of that." It says, "In my father's house are many mansions." What that means is there's plenty of room for us in his land. And we will build our new life together in my father's home, where you will get a new name. Is that not true? When we are married, that the bride gets a new name? Sure she does. Happens to be the last name, but it's symbolic. Is it not? Also, in Genesis it says, when a woman and a man unite, a woman leaves her home and joins and becomes one with each other. But it comes down that the lineage that she joins is not hers, but his. So, if the father is the one who has the lineage, then the bridegroom has the lineage through his father. And the father gives approval to the son when he gets married. He blesses the marriage. He says, "I bless this marriage. I allow this new family to start on my land because it's going to maintain the traditions and the understandings of the family." Okay? You with me so far? Alright, so the father's living across the sea, the son is going to be away for a while, and he wants to make four promises. He says, "If you love me, then I want you to love other people the way I love you. I'm going to tell you how I love you with four promises." And the first one is, "Whatever you ask from me, whatever you need, I'm going to do that for you." Now that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Think of it this way, and I'm going to allow Alan Genevieve to be our role model this morning. If Genevieve asks something from Al, Al is more than likely, if he loves her completely, going to do that. Because she loves him in return. And if he says to her something like, "All I ask is that the love that you've learned from our relationship, you share that love and not let it be self-centered. Don't be self-centered, but give that love to your children. Honor that love with your neighbors, with your family, with your friends. Let that love change you." "If," says Jesus, "if I had loved you at all, love in the same way to others. If you do, then whatever you ask of me, I will do it." You say, well, okay, maybe so, but I put this to the test this week. Because I learned this Tuesday, I said, well, on Wednesday I said, well, I guess I can try this and see if it works. You know us, we like to check and see if God really means what He says. So I said, Lord, my ex-wife called me the other day and she was mad because the son wouldn't open his mouth at the dentist and I don't know what to do about it. And I'm saying, Lord, open his mouth and get his teeth fixed. This was on Wednesday evening. I said, Lord, I leave it in your hands. You said you'd do anything. That's all I'm asking you to do. The next morning, my ex-wife calls me driving to the dentist saying, here's your son. I'm ready to kill him. I want you to talk to him. I'm taking him to one more dentist. If we don't do this, we're not doing anything for Christmas but finding a dentist that will take him and put him to sleep and get his teeth fixed. I said, okay. So I talked to him. And I said, it's okay, son. Imagine your dad's with you, holding your hand because I think you need that. And about 3 hours later, phone rings. I answer. My ex-wife says, he's coming down. He opened his mouth. And I smiled and said, John 14:13. John 14:14. Happened. Within 24 hours. All I did was ask one thing, and he did it. Why? Because I love my son like Jesus loves me. And if you ask anything in that relationship and extend that love, and what you ask is out of that love relationship, he will do it. Because you're extending his love. And if you want the ability to extend it further, he's going to do it. Now if you say, Lord, give me the winning lotto ticket, I don't think he's going to do that. Because that's not loving, that's self-centered. He's not going to help you change the relationship or the scope of that love. That's the first promise. Second promise is in verse 16. This is a good one. This is one we sometimes use a lot. And we need it. It says, first of all, listen, 15, he repeats it. If you love me, keep my commandment. See, he's setting it up again. And in 16 he says, and I will pray to my Father, and he will send you a comforter who will abide with you forever. Now you say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Yes, but the Holy Spirit's job is when you have trouble, when you're scared, when life is going the wrong direction, when you don't have a way, he says, I'm going to comfort you in your time of trouble. That you will never, ever, ever again be alone in your trouble. That's a good promise. I like that one a lot. Because that means God is with me through everything. That's a good promise, isn't it? I like that one. All I have to do is love like Jesus loves, and then my troubles are no longer my troubles. He takes them and is with me and bears them. I can deal with that. I like that. I should learn how to love like He loves me. That sounds like a deal, but He goes further. Oh my goodness, does He go further. The third promise is in verse 21. I can only tell you that this one says it again. He that has my commandment and keepeth them, there it is again. If you do that, then you love me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And here's the promise. And I will love you, and I will let you know I'm real. Ooh, that's good. I will love you, and I will let you know I am real. I will manifest myself to you. And you know, there's a good question by Judas, not Iscariot. He says, well, Lord, how are you going to let us know you are real and not anybody else? And that's the fourth promise. The fourth promise Jesus tells him. And if you don't know what it is, it's in verse 23, right after the question.
And again he says the conditions, if you love me, you will keep my word or my commandment. There it is again. He keeps repeating it, doesn't he? And if you do that, my Father will love you, and we will come to you together, and we will live in you. You will know God is in you. Let me ask you a simple question. If you knew all of God was in you, you were about to burst, you'd know it, wouldn't you? Well, if you had just a little bit of that, you'd know it, wouldn't you? You'd know if God was there. You can feel it. What's that song say? I know He's real because He's in my soul. I feel Him in my soul. If He's not there, you can feel that too. Doesn't feel too good. If God is in you, you can feel that love. Right? And He says all you have to do is to love others the way He is loving you. And you say, okay, I think I understand. Does that mean I got to die on a cross? No. Doesn't mean you have to die on a cross. It says, quite simply, four things you got to do to love like He does. Number one, if someone asks you for something, you will do it. Number two, if someone's in trouble, you'll comfort them. Number three, you follow the list down here, you will love people and you will spend time with them. And four, you're not afraid to live with people in their world. You will be with them through it all. What Jesus does for you, the promises He fulfills for you, He asks you to do for others. That's how you love one another. Is that so hard? To help people when they're troubled? Is it so hard to find out what someone needs and if they ask you to do it? People are giving you the conditions on how you can fulfill this. If they ask you, do it. As long as it's not self-centered and it helps them to love, do it. Why? Because you open up that you will never, ever, ever be alone. God will be with you in your troubles. He will do anything you ask. Anything. That's a powerful statement. It is. I tried it. It worked. I like it. And then, once you understand that Jesus said the same thing four times, if you do what He asks you to do, to love one another as He loves you, then this is what happens. It says, you are my friends. This is verse 14 in chapter 15. You are my friends if you do whatever I ask you. Whatever I command you. His commandments are simple. They're always before us. And they're great. Do you know God is in you? Does God manifest Himself to you in situations where other people just don't get it? Where other people say, how can you have peace and comfort in that situation? How is this possible? You can simply say, because God loves me and Jesus, and He told me He'd be there. And I know He is. I feel Him. I know He's real. You see, a lot of people used to ask me this question, how do I know if Jesus is really in me? I kind of smile and say, because you'll know. Because you'll find that you're loved completely. That you'll want to love others the same way because it's inside you. God will give you so much love. Here's the thing that I offer you to ask. If you're not used to asking for something from God, and He will do this. You ready? It's a good one. This will open the door to all the rest. And simply this. Lord, let me know You love me. Let me feel Your love for me. me feel you inside me. I ask you that. That if you ask the Lord to do that, you better watch out. You better watch out big time, because you're going to start getting really, really happy, and people are going to think you're a little too happy for the situation you're in. They're going to say, how come you're so happy? How come you got so much energy and joy? Well, I asked God for it. Matter of fact, I asked Jesus, and He said He could do it, and He did it. You know, I just got it, and I'm thankful. And they're going to be like, did you get enough rest last night? Are you sure? And you just smile and say, I'm positive. I know it. Because I can't make this kind of joy. And no drug anybody sells anywhere can make this kind of joy. If God, all of God was in you, how would that feel? What do you think would happen? I think we agreed we'd burst. Why don't you ask God for enough to fill you completely? And see how that feels. Waking up every morning knowing that God is right with you and there's nothing that day that you'll face alone. You have all the strength you need provided. Folks, Jesus said this. The promises cannot fail if you love others like you love Him and like He loves you. That's a promise. It's guaranteed. Ironclad. He says it 4 times in 14, 1 in 13, and 2 in 15. He says it 7 times. He repeats it so we'll get it. It took me this long to understand that loving us to the end means He will do anything to be with us, to assure us while He's apart from us that He's coming back. Because that's the one question that Christians struggle with the most. How do you know He's real when you can't see Him and you don't know when He's coming back? And what does He say to us? I'm preparing a place for you. When I'm ready and it's ready, we're going to be together. And if you need assurance of that, ask Him for it. He'll do it. He promised He would. Don't take my word for it. Take Jesus' word for it. This Advent season, which we're in right now, has this very powerful affirmation that we are part of the Father's family when we belong to Jesus. And we are accepted in the Beloved. I want to tell you that this is very, very important to understand. A lot of people try to tell us that we need to accept Jesus, and that's the miracle, that we can accept Jesus. That's not the miracle. The miracle is we're not worthy of God's dust. We're sinners. We're not allowed into the kingdom because we're unholy, unrighteous, ungodly sinners. The miracle is that God accepts us. I can't say, well, you know, I'm choosing God and God loves me, therefore He's got to... It's not true. Scripture says we are accepted in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we get nothing. God's great love for us does not erase the requirements of holiness. But Jesus Christ, who came, and we celebrate this holiday, holy time of His birth, ensures that God's promise to us was He wants us. And He made a way where there seemed to be no way through Jesus Christ. That all the promises would be yes in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes in Jesus Christ. They are fulfilled in Him. And if we would listen to Him, He would pour out the kingdom, the Spirit, do whatever we ask. And the third promise I share with you, the most important one, is He will love us. He will love you if you allow Him to. And the more He loves you, the more you see how to love others.
I think that's good news. That's great news. This Advent season, on this day, waiting for the Christmas day, the birth of Christ, we celebrate the promise fulfilled. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus came, that we can stand on the promises as long as we stand in His presence as one of His. Heavenly Father, we have come before You many times expecting that You would accept this because we're asking. It doesn't work that way, and we know it now. We are accepted in Jesus Christ. And we receive that relationship and are drawn to be one with Jesus. Then we come to You. And He brings us there. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that these promises are secure. They are eternal. And they belong to us when we belong to You. Remind us now, Lord, that You're in us. And that You're with us. And that You lead us. Amen. Number 21 is, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. The beauty of Jesus Christ is not